بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم وكان حقا علينا نصر المؤمنين Allah Ta'ala takes it upon himself. It's his undertaking. I have undertook a responsibility. That means I count it as obligatory. I must do it, I must execute. Why? I undertook. Overall, when you say undertake, then you are saying that you are under someone's authority. But when we speak about Allah Ta'ala, there is no authority above Him. And when Allah Ta'ala says, we have undertaken this, then you must consider this to be done. Because He's undertaken it. When He's undertaken it, it's done. There's no doubt about it. So to get your confidence, Allah Ta'ala says, I've taken it upon myself. So He's taken this upon Himself to support the believer. إِنَّا لَنَنْصُرُ رُسُلَنَا وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا فِي الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا وَيَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ That we have taken it, that we will help the Rasul, the believers, in this world, في هذه الحياة الدنيا, and in the hereafter. وَيَوْمَ يَقُومُ الْأَشْهَادِ But then the condition is, Allama Iqbal says it in a poetry, Fizaye badar paida kun, farishte utar sakte hai, kitar mein, malaika can come to you, not in hordes. But the condition is, you must create the atmosphere of badar, become like the badreen, and you completed your side, Allah Ta'ala will fulfill his promise. Now we sing Allah Pak, no, Allah Pak, I must have it. Allah Pak, don't see now whether I am complying and conforming or not. But you must do your side. So this is, the malaika can come to your rescue, they can come and support you. But you see to it that you are creating the atmosphere of Badr. Easiest thing to do, Allah Qayyatiyyab Sahib Rahmatullah used to say, that in a madrasa, there's about 5 or 6 levels of work. The most difficult work is a Mufti Sahib's work. He was in charge of the madrasa, but yet he would say, the most difficult of the work is a Mufti Sahib's work. Because every now and then, there's a new challenge out there. And when there's a new challenge, then he has to look for a solution. Right? And he must be so sharp and alert that nobody is taking him for a ride. You know? Because many a times it happens that you want to secure a fatwa so that you can score points. Secure a fatwa that you can score points against someone. Sometimes it is between the wife and the husband. On score points, she will ask, is it compulsory for me to do the cooking? So it's easy to say, no, it's not compulsory, it's not part of your duties. You won't be speaking a lie, right? But now a balanced answer is like, it is not compulsory for him to take you out for Umrah, to see to your medical bills, and to arrange for your huwawar and confinement, and to take you to the best hospital, and to take you for a ride, or to buy you that kitchen cabinets and that granite stone, yeah, and buy you new clothes all the time. It's not compulsory. Similarly, it's not compulsory for you to cook also. Or it's a balanced answer, you see. Now, otherwise they want to use one against the other. Now, the Mufti Sahib has to be very, very alert. Very alert. Sharp, alert, understanding. So he knows the masla, and he knows the mind of the person. He's got the finger in the pulse. He knows what this person is asking about. So on the one side, he must know the answer. He knows the reference, but he knows the person that he's asking, that he's answering. what this person is up to. Sometimes he wants to incite trouble, wants to create trouble, right? So you get an answer but create some problem. So someone will ask, alright, you know, how is it for a girl to go to a girl's madrasa? You know when this type of wrongs takes place in a girl's madrasa, so how is it to admit your daughter into that girl's madrasa? So you can write a plain answer that it is not right for them to go to a madrasa, right? But it may be that that girl that is asking this question, she is more interested in going to university, right? And when she is more interested in going to university, now she needs an excuse to present before her father, but you know, see what they say about the madrasa, don't send me to the madrasa, send me to university. So in that madrasa there may be one small problem, right? What the problem may be there? The problem may be there that Apa is a little bit cheeky there, right? He's shouting too much. So that may be the problem, right? The Apa needs to be more refined, alright? But exposing that girl into that university is 100% haram. It can be one good thing that the girl will come off. From the bottom to the top, you ask that girl, right, that what happens in the university, they'll tell you. Students come here, women sometimes phone up, and my father is forcing me to complete the course, but I know what's happening here, and I know I can also succumb to the same wrong. They'll tell you in confidence, but they can't speak to their fathers. The fathers are forcing them. No, you're already there now. You know, you've got a good pass, and the school and everybody is saying, don't waste this girl, because she's potential. Is she a potential Muslim? She's potential in the Iman, or potential for the dunya? She must be first potential for Islam, for Iman. Get the first things first. After that, everything will flow afterwards. That's not how dunya must come first, and then deen, then it doesn't happen. Do you see a horse and trailer, the trailer before the horse, do you see that? You can't. So Islam, give it its place, and give that person his place as well. Now you set it right, it'll move right. But you give Islam the back seat, and you want to be the driver, and you want this thing to run well, then that's just a dream, it's a far-fetched dream. So put things in their places, and then move on. Inshallah, everything will come right in its time. So this verse is talking about Kana haqqan alayna nasrun. Allah Pak says, we will support, we will take care. But then you have to see to your side of the deal. You complete, you conform. The dunya, everything will come in its time. Their sever sabke saath hai. Sometimes it comes with a delay, and sometimes it comes immediately. But one thing Allah Ta'ala assures you, that if you want to be for me, then فَلَنُحْيَنَّوْ حَيَاةً طَيِّبًا, I'll give you a clean, good life. Whether in prosperity or adversity, but I'll give a clean and an enjoyable life. Life will be enjoyable. So the one that is holding to deen, whether he's in prosperity or adversity, but within you'll find he's enjoying. He's feeling so well. He's not asking for any needs. He's not desirous for higher levels. But he's got a deep level of satisfaction, inner satisfaction, inner happiness. Now, where did that inner happiness come in from? Came from Allah Ta'ala. He held on to Allah Ta'ala. He was faithful. He was loyal. He was happy with Allah Ta'ala. Then even he's happy with Allah Ta'ala, won't Allah Ta'ala be happy with him? When Allah Ta'ala is most appreciative, and you're happy with him for your lot, then won't he be happy with you? And if he's happy with you, then won't you feel happy? He's happy with you, won't you feel happy? You come to your home, and you see from her face, you see from the wife's expression, etc., that she's happy. For the cheer, gave you one rose, or whatever else, right? So, doesn't make you happy. Hey, but why is she so pleasant today? What happened? Not her birthday or something. What happened today? Then doesn't make you happy. So, the same, when you're coming into this world, it's Allah Ta'ala's home. When it's Allah Ta'ala's home, and you made Allah Ta'ala happy, so won't He make you happy? He'll definitely make you happy. But you endeavor to make Him happy. See, what has happened to us, we've only got the taste of the material. Allah gave me this shop here, the shop I got. I'm making this from this investment. Hey, I'm cracking, man. See, I'm making my namaz, everything is working out. So the main thing in our life is, work out. The main thing in life is, Is the deen working or not? Dunya worked, didn't work, is not a train smash. It's not a big deal. You're eating, sleeping, you got a roof over your head, you didn't go hungry any day. So your fears is about the future. What's going to happen? What's going to happen? 10 years' time, 5 years' time, 2 years' time, what's going to happen? So the present, Allah gave it to you. And Allah Ta'ala was so considerate, that He only asked you for today's Asr Namaz. He didn't ask you for today's Maghrib Namaz also. Did He ask you? It's only the Namaz, the obligation of the time, of the day, of that hour. Not the obligation of the next hour. He's asking you the obligation of this hour, not of the next hour. And when we are asking Him, Allah Ta'ala, the obligations of 50 years, you know, the investment, that money must come, and you know, what will happen to me, and my family, and my child, what will happen to them? Any consideration in our minds. And Allah Ta'ala knows what we don't know. Wallahu ya'alamu wa antum la ta'alamun. What is better for you, what is not better for you, He knows it. So He's given you, and what He's given you, that is the better thing for you. But just that you can't understand it. You can't see it. Child that is 9, 10 years of age, he asks his father, you know, Abba, you love me, and you got millions, right? Buy me that Ferrari. Buy me that, whatever other cars they got, right? Lamborghini or something, whatever. Buy me that car. Father got millions, he can buy hundreds of that, right? But the father knows that it's not the right thing for him now. And he knows what's the reason for it. So the father says, no. Then when the child is not 10 now he's 25, now he looks at his bank account, and he sees, alright, you know, when I was 10, it was my birthday, then I asked my father for a Lamborghini, and he didn't make it available for me. But now I look at the history of my bank account, then on that very day that I asked him, he put 100 million in my account that day. He put 100 million in my account. So, definitely my father gave me much more than what I deserve. But because I was so naive, so shallow-minded, I thought had I had that, that would have been the better thing for me. But Wallahu ya'alamu antum la ta'alamu. Allah knows it, you don't know it. You only see it through your nose, whether we are big, 70, 100 years of age, or with 10 years of age, we only see it through our nose, we can't see beyond. Because we can't see beyond, therefore we know, what happened now? So to be pleased with Allah's decree, in whatever situation you are, but to be pleased. Difficulty, adversity, happiness, things are working out, not working out, whatever, but just to be happy with Allah. Happy with Him, happy with His deen, happy with His obligations, happy with everything that He's blessed you, or He has ordained, whether He's ordained, or whether He has made it available, whatever conditions made available, whatever obligations He has set upon you, but you're happy for it. Obligations, we know, namaz, zakat, roza, etc. So we're happy with every obligation. Conditions also, we know, adversity, prosperity, sickness, health, right? People appreciate you, they don't appreciate you, they compensate you, they don't compensate you, they recompense you, they don't recompense you. So whatever it is, but you're happy with the decree of Allah Ta'ala. At the end, it is Allah Ta'ala that makes the decision. Others are just puppets. They are just puppets in the game. And Allah decided, when He decided, then that was the better thing for you. But because you couldn't see beyond, therefore you said, hey, why are they treating me like this? How can this person treat me this? And I've been so good for him for such a long period, and then now at the end, this is the reward that I get. So you're not looking at the actual hand. The hand is Allah Ta'ala's, and He's done this for some reason. But just that you cannot see, because you cannot see, therefore you're complaining. Had you only seen that hand of Allah Ta'ala, then you would have complained. No, Allah, what you have kept me in, that was a better thing for me. And I must be happy, I will be happy with your decision. Now see how Allah Ta'ala will treat you then. Dil se, from your heart, you need to be pleased with the decision of Allah Ta'ala, no matter what. When an individual will see the rewards of his dua on the day of Qiyamah, except for making dua, and you see the consequence of your duas, right? Then you will wish, Allah Ta'ala, had you not accepted one dua of mine, because I've only got all that sawab accumulated, you know. Right. Now I saw some du'as were pending, but I saw what that pending means. That pending, what it means, and now I see it. But if all the du'as were pending, now I could understand, you know, I could really enjoy. But now it's too late, you can't reinvent the whole thing. It's only one time. It's just one time that you get a chance to go across. You don't get a second chance. So Allah Pak's promise, وَكَانَ حَقًّا عَلَيْنَا نَصْرُ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ. We take it upon ourselves. We will support. No matter what. But then you fulfill your side. Whatever your duty is, your responsibility is, your obligation, try and understand this is my obligation, my duty. I must do it and leave Allah Ta'ala to do what He needs to do. Abu Sa'id Khudri radiallahu anhu, he says that we were sent out in a delegation, a Jamaat or whatever, we were sent. Now you're talking of the beginning of Islam. See, in the whole Meccan life, they couldn't do so much of propagationary work. Restrictions and the hardships, the persecution, the harassment that they were going through at the hands of the Quraysh made them restricted. So if they did any da'wat, then very discreetly they had to do it. Very, very discreetly. Talk openly about Islam, then you get persecuted. You get hurt. You get harassed, right? You get stoned. So all type of difficulties are coming up. Someone just spoke about Allah Ta'ala in the Haram Sharif, then he got bombarded from all four sides. Attacking from this side, that side. Abu Zar al-Ghifari, Umar radiyallahu anhu, whoever spoke about Islam, and they got it. So they couldn't be vocal about the whole thing. If they did it, then very discreetly they had to do it. Now they're moving on to Medina Munawwara. Now, the floodgates have opened out. The floodgates have opened out. Now this da'wat open. There's no persecution. There's no harassment. There's no difficulty. So when the floodgates opened out, the Nabi Sam took advantage. Right. So, the gates really opened out after the sixth year of the Hijrat. When the Sulah and the treaty was signed at Hudaybiyah, then it opened out even more. It opened out as soon as Nabi Sam stepped in Medina Munawwara, but it opened out really at that time. Because even then, until the sixth year, Quraysh was still trying to persecute, trying to jam them up, trying to hurt them. Somehow or the other trying to hurt. But now when they come under a treaty, now they have to respect, both sides have to respect. So the Quraysh have got a chance to see Islam firsthand, because there's no persecution, there's no ill feelings, there's no persecution, we are under a treaty, and we need to respect our side. So Nabi Sam now, he began to send his jamaats. Work began to start off, right? There's letters that are being sent to leaders, to kings, you know, to all type of classes of people, letters are being sent. So whichever way he could propagate and convey his message, he conveyed the message. And Allah can also commanded him, يَا أَيُّ رَسُولُ بَلِّغْ مَا أُنزِلَ إِلَيْكَ مِنْ رَبِّكَ. Proclaim my message. وَإِن لَمْ تَفَعَلْ فَمَا بَلَّغْتَ رِسَالَتَ. If you don't do so, then you haven't accomplished this mission. So now, can you imagine how difficult it is that Allah Pak is commanding that you need to accomplish this, convey this message, proclaim this message. Otherwise, you haven't accomplished. Like I kept you in my shop, right? I say, you don't come and do this, then you haven't fulfilled your task. How will you take it? An ordinary boss who's seeing you right at the end of the month, then how do you feel it? Now if Allah Pak's obligation, you haven't fulfilled it, and then a person like Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, then, can you imagine now, you know, a mind like his, nobility like his, honor like his, right? A man that has a personality like his, then what won't he do? Then in every way, to be able to proclaim the word of Allah Ta'ala, by his behavior, by his way, by his conduct. Look at the farewell Hajj, Hajjatul Wida, right? So, you know, when you want to do something, when you want to pass a law, then you have double standards. One is for the people that are close to you, right? And one is the people that are distant from you. So the law will more or less apply to those people that are distant. For the people that are close to you, then you will pre-warn them. This thing is coming up, so get yourself prepared. Right? Say for example, the South African rand is going to be devalued, right? Right? So I know about it. So in a month's time it's going to be devalued, so I'll say if I just be careful, in 1 month's time it's going to crash. About 40 cents. 50 cents is going to crash. Right? So those that are close to me, I will let them know about it, because I don't want them to suffer any loss. Those that are not close to me, I won't tell them about it. Right? So I won't be fair in whatever I'm doing. I'm not going to be fair. Any law is going to be passed, then I'll tell the people, well, you know, this law is coming up, and you need to take care. This thing here, there's going to be an additional tax. This commodity here, there's going to be a tax, 50% tax on this. So now, obviously, now, people that heard about it, they're going to stock up. But I'm going to just disclose this to my immediate people. I'm not going to let the world know about it. Now, look at Nabi Sallam's way. On the occasion of the Hajjatul Wida, the farewell Hajj, right? Nabi Sallam reiterates and announces that riba has been abolished. Khalas, end of the story. We don't hear. Riba is ended, cancelled under my feet. It's crashed complete. But the first riba that I'm crashing down, smashing down the first riba, is the riba of my uncle Abbas Adiyam. Abbas Adiyam was a philanthropist, right? So he had tons of money. So he'd loan and he would take interest. Until then it was permissible for them to consume, right? But Nabi Sallam says now on that occasion that the first riba that I'm smashing down is the riba amounts of my dear uncle Abbas, they are smashed down. So all those things, all those demands that he had, those demands are all cancelled. Imagine millions, just in one announcement everything is lost. And he starts off from whom? He starts off from his own family. Can you see that? Now look at how the international politics work, and then compare it with Nabi Sallam. Now you get it, you get the true picture. But you're speaking about this in isolation, and you're not seeing how the international politics work, then you won't be able to appreciate and grasp the truth, the honesty and the fair play of Nabi Sallam. But he's starting it off with his own people, with his own folks. And want people that respect Nabi Sallam right till the end of time. And if someone played a double game, he played a double gander, double standard, right? So for the moment his folks will be happy with him. But the news will come out. When the news will come out, hey, it's for the Chauhan, this man, very crooked. How crooked? Yeah, there's a double standard. For people, for the poor it was a different law, and for the right and the close there was a different law. They deserve to know about it, and we didn't deserve to know about it. Whereas we are worthy, we are more worthy and eligible. So people would have hated him till the end of time. But when he started off with his own. Then he talks about bloodshed, right? And he says, whatever has happened in the past is past, class, it's all abolished. If anybody have got any demands of the past, it's all cancelled. From now onwards, now we'll start it off. Wounds and injuries, equal for equal. Wounds, injuries, murders, equal for equal. Whatever happened in the past everything is crushed, smashed, it's a return of leaf. And the first murder that we will wipe out is the murder of my own family, Rabia ibn al-Haris, right? That is the first murder that we'll wipe off, because that was of the past. It's about the past, we're not going to ask for any compensation, any death money, nothing. It's wiped out because it's of the past. But from now onwards, now it's going to be fully effective. Whether it is my family, it is your family, whoever's family, but it's going to be fully effective from now. But when he starts off with his own family. Now show me one politician, whether it was Lenin, whether it's Napoleon, whether whoever it was, but he could be so balanced, he could be so fair. Show me anybody, any politician. There was a different law for his immediate folks. There was a different law for people that were outside. And here when he starts off with his own, with immediate people. So why won't people respect him till the end of time? This man, look at the honesty, look at the truth, look at the loyalty, what standard he was showing. And then those that are closest to him, then he makes sure, Nabi Sallam makes sure that those that are closest, then they must keep and they must respect the standards even more than the rest. Now those that are still coming in, alright, we need to teach them. But those that are closest to Nabi Sallam, Nabi Sallam is making all that additional fikr, that these people must hold on to the standards even more than those people that are new. One man comes to Medina Munawwara and there's no food. And he's come from the wilderness, right? Come to the wilderness, he doesn't know about how life is supposed to be operating. He doesn't know about it. Coming from the jungle, he's coming now. He doesn't know. First time he's coming into an urban situation and he's suffering from starvation, nothing to eat. So he doesn't know how life operates actually. But he doesn't know how life operates, so he saw a farm and he went and helped himself. Now the owner of the farm caught him, gave it to him. Took away whatever he could take, took away from him and gave it to him, give him my name. Now this man is new, he doesn't know, he's just brand new into Islam, stepping into Islam. So the man comes, the only recourse is Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, he's the head. He's a Nabi on the one end and he's the head of the state. So the only recourse is to go and complain to Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Now it's a new man and then how Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi works with him, you see. It's a new person. And when it's a new person, then how Nabi Sallallahu handles this person. So Nabi Sallam heard the whole complaint. And then he reprimanded this person that hit him. He says, Ida, when he was hungry, ma at amtahu. Then you didn't feed him. But he's hungry now. It's one of two situations, either he's hungry or either he doesn't know. So when he was hungry, then you didn't feed him. When he was ignorant, then you didn't teach him. He didn't know, he's new, he's brand new in Islam. So he'll overlook his mistakes and overlook his faults. So when he's hungry, then feed the man, give him something. And he doesn't know the masla, what is halal, what is haram, he doesn't know, then teach him about it. But you didn't teach him, you didn't take the trouble to teach him, you didn't take the trouble to feed him, straight away you hit him. Is this Islam? Then Nabi Sallam instructs this person, alright, go to the Baitul Mal and give him approximately, if I remember the figures, about 300 or 400 kilos of grain. I'm going to give it to you. Can you show me one example? Someone comes to your yard and he stole away all the new tiles that you're putting up, right? All the new tiles he stole. One person, show me one example and you bless him in this manner. But that's only the work of a Nabi. Nabi can do it. He's got that understanding. And he's seen Jannat. In front of him, he can see it. And you can see how people can slip away from Jannat. And you can see also how people can slip into Jannat. So he is somehow, get the person, hold him by his waist, push him onto the path of Jannat. Somehow or the other, this person that is strong, show him how to be a gentleman. That person that is weak, make him strong. But work on all. The man that is strong, work on him. How are you going to work with the person that is strong? The man that is weak, he needs help. He needs you to sustain him, help him, support him. Then be there for him as well. Whether he's weak in his understanding, weak in his knowledge, weak in any respect, what's your work? Your work is to help, assist, support, encourage. Al-Mawlana Thami Sahib Rahmatullah, in his final days, final days. In the meanwhile, he's got a severe condition, heart condition, whatever condition. And the doctors have said, no visitors. Now they put you into an ICU. Right. So doctors are seeing him, say, no, he's in that condition, nobody's allowed. Only perhaps just the immediate, like the wives, etc., only they are allowed. But besides that, nobody's allowed. In the meanwhile, Mufti Muhammad Shafi Sahib Rahmatullah has slipped in from Deoband. He doesn't know that this is the status quo in Thanabon. He doesn't know about it. But he just came in. And somehow, Mawlana Thami Sahib Rahmatullah got to know that Mufti Shafi Sahib has just come in. Meanwhile, the security is very tight. Everything is cordoned off very, very tight. But for 1 minute, the security just broke. So Mawlana whispered in someone's ears, just call Mufti Shafi sahab. Just call him. So he called him and he says, you know, you're doing the 13 sipara, you're doing Ahkamul Quran, as per Mawlana's instructions, you're doing this. Under this verse here, I want you to write this. Think about it first nicely, properly. And when you have also agreed, then you add this into the tafsir. Just Mawlana just completed the talk and the security was there. So the security is shouting, Mawlana, Mawlana, hum sab kuch intizam karte hain, aapki khairkhahi ke liye. For your betterment, we have taken all this hardship, you know, to do everything, to make you come up again. And then you break in the security, you're getting this man inside here, you're going to take the toll on yourself. So they mean good. Don't they mean good? They mean good, right? But Mawlana turned around the security of that moment now. See, what's inside the heart, one day it will surface. Sometimes you can hold, but one day, I think you suppress it too much, one day it will surface. So Mawlana says, you know, you count that as my unfortunate day because I'm not considerate about my health. I'm not considerate about my health, so you consider that as an unfortunate day. But I consider myself to be the most unfortunate. Now look at his words. The day that I can't be of any service to my brother. Now look into the statement and compare it against our lives. Look into his statement and compare it against our lives. I'll consider that day to be my most unfortunate day when I cannot be of any service to my brothers. So he felt life is about service. That's why some Buzurg says that people think that tasawuf and coming close to Allah Ta'ala is just tasbih, wearing that type of clothing and being on the musalla. That's what people think. But real tasawuf is enduring people and being of service to them. What? You endure people, all the nonsense, when you're going to be with people, right? Then someone is going to say, kuch na kuch karenge, they'll say something. Everything, but hey, you spoiled everything. But there is how much you did. Hey, coming and spoiling everything. So that's the only thing they'll see and they'll shout you for it. But with all what they are doing, yet you got a smile on the face. You're doing it still cheerfully. Because you know that that's the most fortunate moment where you are of service to mankind. For the sake of Allah Ta'ala. But you are of service. Muhammad Shafi Sahib Rahmatullah says, I speak about this because everybody speaker now, 95% is self-centered. Anybody and everybody, the speaker is about self. Even the phone is self. Before we thought of people being Salafis, now the phone also becomes Salafi. Everything is about self, self, self. Is that life? Does the life have any meaning then? Only about yourself. Comfort, comfort, comfort about yourself only. Does your life have any meaning? I ask you, the moment you went down, then when you've been all the time only for yourself, and I ask you, who will be for you? Do you ever consider that? You be for yourself all the time. All the time. Me, my family, right? All the time you've been desperate for yourself. And the moment you hit the ground, I ask you now, will these people be for you now? So it's gone now. It's one less now, it's gone. It's khalas. Will the people be for you? But if you've been of service, hey, what a man we lost, man. Allah Ta'ala bless him. Allah Ta'ala reward everybody's tongue. Hey, what a man. What he did. Now that is Islam, that is a Muslim, that is our Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. In Makkah Mukarrama, that was his work. Madina Munawwara, that is his work. In Makkah Mukarrama, that was looking at the guests. Person that can't afford doing something for him. And this is said by Khadija radiallahu anha on the first encounter of Wahi. This is what the encounter with Wahi. And Hazrat Khadija is supporting Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Ya Rasulullah, you are that man. You look after the poor. You look after the guest. The man is struck. You support him. You assist him. So you are for the people all the time. I ask you that that service was done for Muslims or non-Muslims. It's the first encounter with the Wudu. With non-Muslims. Then moving on to Medina Munawara, that's the first thing that he's doing. He's doing it and he is propagating the same thing. What is he saying? Afshu salam, make salam. Feed people. For the sake of Allah, Allah feed. Make salam. Then you've got two types of people. One is your immediate people and one is the world. Your immediate people, be even more considerate. Your family, folks, etc. Be even more considerate. Family, friends, those that are close, near to you. Then be even more considerate to them. But to the people in general, also be comfortable to them. You eating, eat time, you are eating meat, right? There are a lot of people that don't see this type of comfort. They don't see this comfort. Now, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was so particular. One day, one year, in around the Bakri time, in the outlying areas, there was starvation. So Nabi Sallam passed a sentence, he passed a law, that this year's Bakra Eid, you're not going to store the meat. Like people now, they have the tendency of storing the meat. In the old days, they would store the meat, they would dry it up, whichever way. But he said, for this year, you're not going to store the meat, only for 3 days, and then everything disposed. So there's people that are coming out from the outlying area, they go, nothing. So give them that meat. See his consideration. Can we do this type of thing? You know, buy two additional freezers. Store it up. That's how we look. And here we're going to the extreme. Either you got one class that don't want to see the Qurbani meat. Eat from the butcher, man. Eat from the butcher, no Qurbani meat, man. Feel something different. So the one you got going that extreme, and the other one don't want to share. You can see what's happening all around, but just don't want to share. Or if you're sharing, just some selected people. All types of people. Some khuda ke bande. You know, when you look at the beauty of Islam, really sometimes I think there's beauty upon beauty, layers and layers of beauty. You can't just overcome it. It's so much, so beautiful. It's so beautiful. Now you compare our Qurbani against the Diwali, right? And look at the discrepancies. That Qurbani time, everybody is happy. Everybody is celebrating. Muslim, non-Muslim, Hindu, black, Christian, everybody. Yama kamina, my meat. My pastor. No, don't forget my head, goat head. I must have it. Everybody will come, they'll line up, they'll queue up. Animals are happy, man is happy, everybody is happy. It's an occasion. I'm coming tomorrow, you keep my passing. The amount of happiness, you see, we didn't practice Islam completely, but that little Islam that we are doing, it brings about so much of happiness. What will it cost us? Or we know the underprivileged, right? They don't have meat. We'll cut 2-3 more sheep, whatever. Not because Bilal is here, he gives us business. But you can see there's so much of poverty around, right? So much of poverty around. Cut a little bit more, give it away, alright. Come for your passes, come and take. But the amount of happiness it will bring about. How much it will cost you? Less than 10,000-15,000. But we can't bust up all these things for tile, for paint, for aesthetics. That's not wasting. Yeah, but hey, these people here, they're robbing us. One goat, 2,000 rand. But the tile, I'm hearing from people, one tile person bought 10,000 rand. I don't know if it's made of gold or what, but one tile is 10,000 rand. That is not wasting. But for the name of Allah Ta'ala, for the sake of Allah Ta'ala to spend, that's wasting. He's robbing, he's cheating. The tire shop that he charged you, it's alright, perfect price. Made it, it's come, not, no, it didn't come local, it's from Italy. See how your value is gone. What is in the name of Allah Ta'ala, that's called wasting. That must be given. Tibula. The hadith is saying, do it and do it with cheer. You want that full sawab, full, complete sawab, do it and do it with a cheer. Those that don't see this type of luxuries, spend upon them. You know, they speak about zakat and sadaqah, etc. He says, one of the cash benefits is, it will stop burglaries, robbing, stealing, etc. Because they know you are giving, you are enjoying from them, and you're giving freely. You give this one, you're giving that one. Alright, you can't give zakat to non-Muslims, but that doesn't mean you can't give sadaqah to them. You can give sadaqah to them. So give them freely. Allah is giving you so much. Hadith is saying that you give, don't close the bag, you know that bag of yours, don't lock it up. Otherwise Allah will lock his treasures against you. La tuki fa yuki, yuki la walik. Don't you shut that Don't shut the bag of your wealth. Otherwise, Allah Ta'ala will close His treasures. You closing that, Allah Ta'ala will close His treasures to you. According to what you can afford, but give. No, I got an additional money and go for Umrah. But even people are suffering like this, difficulty. Even if you slaughter one cow and give the meat. See how people celebrate. What this man did. Won't it bring happiness? Won't it be you passing your word of Islam? According to your capacity, what you can do, you're doing. Can't we do these things? Simple things, but all what Nabi teaches us. Now you look at any other celebration. Any other celebration, really. Whether it is Diwali, whether it is our own weddings. Does it have the barakat? Just for the deco, sometimes you're paying 5 million rand, 4 million rand. The deco will last on that wedding day, how long? For perhaps max 7 hours, right? Max. Anything more than that. I don't think more than that. 6 hours, 7 hours. Hey, what a beautiful design. Yeah, but it's not very well done. They will still have that comment, not very well done. No sawa for that. Agony upon you. Okay, hey, they came here, I bust my 7 million rand for them. And then too, they pass this type of comments. So, no reward in this world, no reward in the hereafter. Both ways you lost out. And here, you got reward here, that you brought about peace here. You got reward in the hereafter, Allah Ta'ala is happy with you there. For that you say, no, it's wastage. One Hindu, he just had one daughter, you see. So, his folks, they spurred him up. They said, no, you got just one daughter, you better do it up. You know, you better do it 5-star. Don't do it, because only one daughter and you are a banya, so you are a loan shark, simple words. Then say you're a banker or money lender or something, but you're a loan shark, you know, you got millions and billions you got. So do it well. So now it appealed to him. When it appealed to him, so he invited about 1,000 guests. So for every guest, he said, as they're leaving, then give them one gold coin. Each guest that is coming. For him, it's nothing. It's just scratching the surface, that's all. He's got so much. So anyway, he spent now so much. Each guest is getting one gold coin. So he says, now, as they're leaving, all the carts are coming into the wedding. And now they're leaving. As they're leaving, I want to see now what comments they're passing. You know, it's a grand style wedding. You never hear of this. You also do weddings, right? But now how the money gets wasted, someone showed me one card, you know, wedding card. I think my estimation that one card must have been about 400 rands. And they printing that they have cards, 500, 600 cards. And that card will be only for the time that you read the thing. And after that, it's discarded, 500 rands wasted down the drain. No reward in this world, no reward in the hereafter. Absolutely. Maybe one stupid person says, hey, what a beautiful card, that's all. Besides that, you got nothing out of it. But you can't spend that type of money. What I'm showing here is how much of israf, how much of wastage. Just upgrading, face lifting, little bit of painting, and how much we can spend. But what we have to do, that we are not doing, and then we get this crime coming up, they say, hey, what type of people we're living with. See? So they're saying in this kitab, that one of the cash benefits that you get with spending is these people, they become softened towards you. All these people, they look after us. They take care of us. They will be soft towards you. Allah Pak is the one that turns the heart. But do we show this consideration? Do we show this? Like I say, how many of us can do that? For a facelift, for a small holiday, we can bust 50,000 rand, 100,000 rand. Nobody will blink an eye. Took the whole family to Turkey, whatever. What have you got? No. What do you need? Tokapi. What? Well, we went to the museum, we saw something and came back. How many namaz you made kaza? 5 namaz kaza. How many women you didn't see? All the wrong things they will do. But the 100,000 rand, 200,000 rand is spent. Nobody considers that as to be a waste. But to spend on the underprivileged, this, yes, how much I did. We'll talk about it. So where the money was supposed to be going, it's not going. So this is that fuzul, this is that israf. Where it's supposed to be going, we're not spending. We're not supposed to be going, we're spending that money. And then we don't feel that conscious within us. Hey, what are we doing? What are we doing? Does anybody feel like that? Nobody feels like that. But if you say, the crime rate is happening here, and the whole world is full of crime now, you keep singing that song. But where this thing is stemming from, where it's coming up from, we don't know how to think about it. So this person that hosted that wedding, so he wants to now hear, now what are the comments? He's not going to get the comments just like straight. So he made a small place, like a hideout for himself, and there's one point for the carts to leave. So as the carts are leaving, now he's in the hideout, but he wants to hear. 1,000 people came in, no comments, nobody says, everybody is sulky, that's like 90, 100, 200, 300, 400. At the end, about after 900, then one person says, the driver is saying, the boss, but what a wedding, what a wedding. Each person was given one gold coin. So the boss is saying, Suhure usne kya diya? Give me one swear word, Suhure usne kya diya? Agar woh 10 dete, kuch uske yahan kami hoti. Give only one, he had given 10 gold coins, would he have suffered any loss? What great thing he did. So I did so much for these people, but nobody gave me a compliment. So that's why I say, in this world when you spend like this, you don't get complimented here, you don't get complimented there. Try and imitate, conform to that life, to that standard. To the people in general, and to your people that are close to you, that more. More to the people that are close to you, and people in general. أَطْعِمُ الطَّعَامُ وَصِرُ الْأَرْحَامُ. So Nabi Sam's teaching in Makkah Mukarrama, teaching in Medina Munawara, it's all about kindness, compassion, love, forgive, overlook, faults. قَوْلٌ مَعْرُوفٌ وَمَغْفِرَةٌ خَيْرٌ مِّن صَدَقَةٍ يَتْبَعُهَا أَذَى. Good words and covering faults. What? Good words and covering faults is better than a charity where you would have hurt the person after. You did some charitable work, but you heard, you give all this, and this is how you treat us. This is what you talk about us. So, you rather don't do the charitable work, give good words, and cover up faults. But now, we want to hurt people, and don't want to cover up their faults, don't want to conceal their faults. قَوْلُ مَعْرُوفٌ وَمَغْفِرَةٌ خَيْرٌ مِّن صَدَقَةٍ يَتْبَعُهَا أَذَى. So anyway, we're talking about Abu Sa'id Khudri, and perhaps the barakat of Abu Sa'id Khudri, and all these things just came after that. And I started the talk saying that it's Allah Ta'ala's responsibility to take care. Nobody is indispensable. You stop with someone else, you'll be replaced. Nobody can say that. Count it as an honor that Allah Ta'ala allowed you to be also. Don't worry about the difficulty that you go through, but count it as an honor that Allah Ta'ala allowed you to be of some service. Shaykh Al-Mu'ana is saying that that day is the most unfortunate day where I cannot be of any service to my brethren. I can't be of any service to my brethren. It's the most unfortunate day. See how these people thought. That's what I say, that being in conformity with these people, that means you are following the same train, you are in the train. Maybe we are somewhere in the back, right in the back. If there was a double third class, maybe we are on there, or maybe beyond that, somehow. But we still need to be thankful to Allah that we are in the same track. We need to be thankful to Allah that we are in the same track, wherever they will be going, we will reach there. But to move away from them really is dangerous. Then there's no security. If you move away from them, there's absolutely no security. You with them, alright, we're doing our broken effort. We can't be at their level. Muhammad Shafi Sahib, he says that his children were small, Mufti Taqi Sahib, Mawlana Mufti Muhammad Rafi Sahib. So when you're small now, the mother will delegate some duties. So everybody has a pride of his mother. The father just had to raise his eyes, just had to cough a little bit, everybody shivers, right? But the mother, she'll say one thing, you say five things, they'll carry on. There's a different relationship, the mother and the son, and the father and the son. Two different relationships, right? So now, mother is delegating some duties, and the children are playing around, they don't want to respond so well. So he called them. Abu Zubayr, see, the style was, they will keep correcting. They won't read now, they'll tell them afterwards and then forget it entirely. Later, I've been speaking to an old person, very old person. So he says, in the old days, our whole thinking was different. Our thinking was different, and today's people, they're different, their thinking is different. Their thinking is, this old person is telling me, their thinking is like an animal, a beastly thinking. So I thought that his words were a little bit too aggressive, you know. What do you mean by it? But then when I thought about what he said, I saw the sense in what he was saying, the essence in what he was saying, the goodness in what he was saying. So he says this much. So our relationship with the child is what? It's like an animal, right? We're looking for the child's comfort, that he can be comfortable, he can live a comfortable life, right? What the animal is doing is looking for a comfortable life for its mom, right? So we're looking for that, a comfortable home, comfortable business, comfortable profession, comfortable life. That's the major concern of 99%. Comfortable home, comfortable living, comfortable life, medical bills, education, all that. So the net sum of what we are looking for a child is they must be comfortable in their homes, in their eating, in their lifestyle. They must be comfortable in that. So any difference, what he's saying now is making sense. He's saying in his own language now, the same thing can be said in a more sophisticated way, right? But what he's saying is making absolute sense. So that is the net impression of life, the analysis of life. This is how they analyze life. That the person that is coming up, he must be comfortable, enjoy, healthy, good home, must have a good life, lifestyle. So that's the end of the life. He said, when we were small, the lifestyle was totally different. The understanding of life was different. Now this is the understanding of life. And then the understanding of life was different. Understanding of life was then that when you got a child, then every day you're concerned about the child. His behavior, his conduct, his ways, his association, his timings, his program. What is he doing? What isn't he doing? What is the type of people? His namaz, his dressing, his clothing, his language that he's using, the interaction, his dealings. So I'm taking the child right through, across the board, right? So my major concern is now, in the old days, he's telling me, the major concern is his relationship with Allah Ta'ala proper and sound? Is his relationship with people right and correct? So when the father or the elder has seen that his relationship with Allah Ta'ala is right, and he knows how to work with people correctly, in a good way, with values and good habits, then would the parents feel, now I've accomplished my parenthood. When the relationship of the child is good with Allah Ta'ala, is good with people. So, haven't you perfected the child? And now our whole fikr is now good education, good money, comfortable lifestyle, and he must be able to speak for himself. So this is the outlook of life. So that's what that man is saying now, that I don't see any difference between this lifestyle and an animal lifestyle. So he's telling me, look at the sheep, or look at fowls, or hens, whatever. So that main concern is what? Now, once that thing is hatched, then you must make the thing comfortable, see how to look for your food, see how to protect yourself against anything that is dangerous, see what to eat, what not to eat, how you must live. That's the only responsibility the hen has got. That the 3 months of the thing's life, sitting on the egg, and bring up its young until they can stand on their own, that is their concern. I ask you, is there any difference? Any difference? Absolutely no difference. You are looking at the same, absolutely the same. So that is why Allah Pak says, in whom illa kal an'am. So this type of people, really, they are human beings. In the words of the Quran, in whom illa kal an'am. Zarhum ya'akulu wa yatamattahu. Let them carry on enjoying and eating. So that is their understanding of life. Eating and enjoying. But now the Muslim also has reduced himself to that point, eat and enjoy. Eat and enjoy. So this old man, I ask you, is his analysis wrong? Is his outlook wrong? I can't say it's wrong. I can't fault him. He said in his own style, maybe he was a little bit aggressive, impolite in what he said, but what he said is a fact. He captured the whole lifestyle. He saw what was there 90 years ago, and he sees now what's going on. And he drew a whole analysis, a comparison of 90 years ago and today. And I think he was spot on. So because they were looking at values, they were looking at akhlaq, they were looking at taqwa, they were looking at the person's relationship with Allah Ta'ala, how strong the person was. Now, when he's bonded, he's young, he's junior to Allah Ta'ala, he's accomplished. Now the man, when he's tied up with Allah Ta'ala, inshallah, he won't go off. He knows how to work with people, inshallah, he won't get into a fight and a problem. So we are talking of Abu Sa'id Khudri, the brother of branch of Mufti Muhammad Shafi'i Sahib Rahmatullahi. And the children now, be 7, 8 years of age, and how they take a little bit of pride over the mother. They say, no, Ma, you're not really telling me, what about him now? So the father overheard this one day. And as I say now, in those days, what used to happen? They'll correct the child, they'll call them nicely, correct them. So now, Mufti Shafi'i Sahib says that, I didn't want to disclose this because it was a secret between me and Allah Ta'ala. Maybe this become my Jannat. But I didn't want to disclose this. But now to impress upon you, what is the reward, what is the importance of showing compassion, love, consideration? Therefore I'm disclosing this to you. I'm forced. Because I can see you people now. If I don't correct you now, then when you become elder, then you won't be an asset to people. Then you'll be an asset but just for yourself. And for nobody. He says, I was young, living in Dioban at the time, and I'd come late at night, I was just at the station. I remember in Dioban, when we were there, many a time, I think most of the time, you don't get lights for 17 hours, 19 hours, 24 hours, all the time, you don't get it. So when it's black out, you can't see anything, you can't see 1 meter before you, so dark it is. Now this group has just come and they need to go home. Pitch dark, there's no light, blackout, complete blackout. In the meanwhile, they have got big trunks to take home and nobody to carry it. So, as they come into the station, they ask now, "Koi kuli hai, kuli hai? Is there any porter?" Now they call us kulis, right? So, that family is asking, "Koi kuli hai? Is there any kuli around, any porter around?" Now Mufti Shavisa made out, he says, now these people are desperate and they got some big trunks and they got nobody to help them to take it home. So he said, "Now I pretended that I was a kuli now. See where he's martaba now. Now till now the whole world talks about him. But you see the difficulty that he went through. Till now he's earned a name, right? But did you see the beginning how he went up? So we were to see him at that level, but we didn't see how he climbed up the steps. How he gained his acceptance, we didn't see that. Yes, when the world talks about him and they quote him and his kitabs are overflowing with acceptance, we will look at that side only. But what put him to that level of acceptance, did we ever think of it? That's why Abu Zughanuddin say that people that look at the end of our lives and all the praises, the accomplishments and whatever, the respect that we get, they are losers. Those are the winners who see the beginning of our life, the difficulty, hardship, mujahada, whatever difficulties. They see all these things here, saying, right, these people, they climbed up, but they climbed up in this manner. So they are the people that really score. So Mufti Shariza wasn't big. He came to Durban in 1962, I think he came in. That time our family style was one car, there were 13 people. So we got caught, the police stopped us, made half the passengers get out, go to Randall's Road, the program was there, right? And we were small, and then cars come back, take the rest of the crowd, go back. Anyway, simple life, enjoyable days, mashallah. So he says to them, you see, then what I did, it's dark, nobody can see who's who, right? So I took my turban and put it on from my head, and I say, kuli here, kuli here, there's a kuli around. So, right, utao is good. I pick it up, put it onto your head. Now, he is the mufti, grand mufti of the whole world at that time. But he's prepared to do this type of a menial work. And there's no obligation. Nobody knows him. At that time, on the station, nobody knows him. And even if they know him, they can't see him. Who's there going to be? Kuli here, mojude. There's a kuli around. Oh, they got They put two trunks on it. I'm a small little man, and carrying two trunks, right? And they want to load you a third one. I said, but you know what? I already got two. The others, tumbi kuch utao. You also take something. So anyway, they took 2 kilometers with all that. Small little person, two trunks above his head, whatever else, they escorted him to the house. The moment he left it in the house, and then he's disappeared. Now they're looking, they need to recompense the coolie for the porter for whatever he's done, can't find the person. The next morning, the talk is out in the town. You know what happened last night? Last night, we were in a jam. Allah Pak sent one farishta. He just came and offloaded the goods and he's gone. He's disappeared. We don't know where he came from. Where he came from, when he came, when he left, we don't know anything about it. Now, these are the things that brings up a person. Nabi Sosam, his first works, Taqrid Daif, Tasilul Arham, Taksibul Ma'adum, Watu'inu ala Nawa'ibil Haq. These are the things. Allama Iqbal says it in a different word. He says, Yaqeen Muhkam, Amal Payham, Muhabbat Fatiha Alam. Yaqeen, you do it with conviction, with hope in the mercy of Allah. Do it. Help, assist, cooperate, encourage, right? Yaqeen Muhkam, Amal Payham. Your yaqeen, but the yaqeen must be supported with good actions, good behavior, good character, good values, good works. Not just bayan, yaqeen and good works, good character, good ways, right? And muhabbat fatiha alam. Really what will conquer the hearts is character with a deep affection for humanity. Deep love for people. You've got love for people. Good character but with deep love. You're doing it with a passion, you're doing it. You took that trunk, whatever, but you are impassionate about serving people. With love you are doing it. You're doing something with love, it has a different finish. And you're just doing it because of a routine, so you're doing it differently. So it says, Yaqeena muhkam amala payham, right? Muhabbat fatiha alam. Muhabbat, this is the thing that will conquer the hearts. And then he says after that in the second line, Yahi hai jihad zindagani mein mardo ki shamshir hai. You're wanting to know what is conquering Islam? What is conquering people's heart? What is bringing them to Islam? You know? Where's that sword? Where's that sword that is forcing people to Islam? Where's that sword? You want to know. So this is that sword, that good character, that yaqeen, that consistency of your behavior, your good behavior, that is the sword. Allah Baktofi Nasibullah.